It costs nothing to enjoy this Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast. If you've been injured in a road or work accident and made a claim, it costs nothing to know where you stand with Maurice Blackburn, Australia's number one plaintiff law firm.
Now, guys, if you've been listening to the show for a while, you'd remember years ago me coming in basically on no sleep most nights because I had horrible neighbours.
Noisy neighbours.
Horrible, noisy neighbours that I could not get to shut up.
No.
It was like we tried everything. We tried starting with the polite go over and say, hey, I don't know if you know, but this is how it sounds. None of that went down. And they got so angry about it, I think they made it worse.
Yes.
And I ended up moving house because of it. I was like, all right, I'm going to take this on board myself and leave because it sucked. And now I have gorgeous neighbours, really friendly, caring people. And I don't know all of my neighbours. I have like a couple that I know, you know, enough, because I think you should know the people in your street.
I think so.
And I know enough neighbours that like we're not all up in each other's grills and we don't know each other's business, but they're there if you need them. But someone's gone and changed the game.
Oh, no.
And I don't know who it is because it's hard to determine, but one of my neighbours has gotten a different vehicle.
Okay.
And the vehicle, I can't even tell what vehicle it is. All I know is it's loud and really annoying.
A bit revvy?
Revvy.
Okay.
Revvy. I can't quite tell if it's a motorbike or a car or a truck. It's really hard to know. It's just this like brrr sound that is really offensive and I can hear them come home.
Yes.
I can hear them leave. And it's just that kind of, you know, those car sounds. I know that rev heads love that sound. They love it. But for everybody else, it's so offensive.
Yes.
You know, like, I hate sitting at a cafe or whatever.
The Harley down the cappuccino strip.
Like, it's just a sound that I just, nothing needs to be that loud.
Yeah.
You know, but they've kind of ruined it now because you just go, if you've got that neighbour that has the revvy car, I'm not going to take it away from them.
No.
If they want to ride that or drive that, it's their right. But it sucks as a neighbour to hear it.
We live cheek by jowl, don't we, these days? I mean, we're literally, my neighbour is only a matter of metres from me.
Yes.
And right around us. And just recently, we've had quite a few small yappy dogs move in.
Oh, yeah.
Now, fortunately, Florence doesn't kick off when she hears other dogs barking necessarily.
Oh, that's good.
But my God, sometimes it's like a cacophony of small dogs just going off.
Yeah, and it does. Once one kicks off, they all do.
Oh, I know I've held it back, but sometimes you want to open the door and go, shut up, you bastard!
And trust me, as a homeowner of someone who has a dog that barks when other dogs bark, he doesn't instigate generally, but he absolutely responds to the other dogs. And I'm like, mate, when are you going to get it? Like, I'm sick of telling him off.
Yeah.
Love thy neighbour. Now shut up. What is the noise that your neighbours are making that you just hear constantly and you're like, look, they're lovely people or everything's fine. I get that they just are living their lives, but my God, it's noisy.
Neighbours, everybody needs good neighbours.
Shut up!
Tony and Camillo, you got some neighbours making some noise?
Yes, morning. Yeah, I love thy neighbours, but I wish they would shut up.
What's happening?
They've got a quail, pet quail, had it in their driveway, and it's right near my bedroom window.
Oh yes.
And I'm a truck driver, so every time I get up early or home late, I always want to sleep. I hear every 15 minutes is, burp, burp, and does that for every 15 minutes.
I had pet quails growing up as a kid and I don't remember them making a noise. That's the noise they make.
Do it again, Tony.
Oh, dear, do I have to?
Please, yes.
Yeah.
And is it like a dove you hear those like repetitive, they just keep going and it's so
just
rhythmic.
Just keeps going.
Oh, frustrating.
Here's me thinking it's whippersnippers and lawnmowers, but it's pet quails that really annoy you.
Yeah, if it makes you feel better, Tony, if they get another one, the quails always eat their young, and so they basically cannibalise each other until they're all gone.
Oh, way to bring it down, Kimber. Jeez.
I mean, I don't want to ruin it for everyone, but, like, that's what quails do.
Okay.
Liz is in Warnbro. G'day, Liz. What are your noisy neighbours doing?
Good morning, guys. I love my neighbours, but I wish they'd shut up.
What's it sound like, Liz? What's happening?
They have really bad karaoke every Friday, Saturday and Sunday night to the point that my windows rattle and I have all their friends over. It'd be okay if they could sing, but it's terrible. I just want to be able to sleep.
Oh, Liz, have you thought about joining the party? Sometimes it's a case of if you can't beat them, join them. Like, karaoke really sucks unless you're the one doing it.
I haven't thought about that.
What's the worst song they do, Liz?
The Barbie Girl.
Oh, God. A bit of Aqua. That'll send you over the edge.
Also, Liz didn't even have to think about it. Straight away, what's the song? It's Barbie Girl.
Chloe's in Armidale. What noises annoying the hell out of you?
Good morning, guys. I love Thy Neighbour, but I wish they'd shut up. I have an old lady neighbour. She's absolutely lovely, but she has the most dramatic sneeze.
Oh, dramatic yes. sneezes.
It's not just one. It's eight in a row.
And oh. always eight?
It's always eight.
And what kind of sneeze are we talking? Because eight in a row for some people is that weird. You know, like so where they're
talking
trying.
We're talking one from the soul.
Oh, from her soul. My dear old mum used to go,
Constable Kimber reporting for duty. Police, stay where you are.
Don't move.
Bad boys, well, what you gonna do? Well, what you gonna do when Kimber comes to you?
Settle down, mate. You're gonna get sprayed.
It's been such a fun week.
Wow.
So I've been doing Constable Kimber. As you know, I've gone out to the training academy. Yeah. I've done weapons training. I've been in the chopper. Did a whole bunch of things to learn what it would be like to be a police recruit.
Yep.
They're searching for 950 new recruits for the WA Police. And so it was actually Commissioner Dawson that said, come in and we'll see if you can have a crack at it.
Mm.
And I guess soon we're about to find out from the Assistant Commissioner whether or not I've done okay in my training.
Well, I don't know about you, Timmy, but I certainly feel that the streets are safer since you've done
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Well, the thing is, that I think that there's been some pretty glowing video and audio that's been played.
Sure.
There were moments where I think I was shining.
Yes.
And there were some other moments that we haven't heard yet where I didn't do really well. And most of that came with the weapons training.
Sure.
And it's very hard. Like, there's a lot to it and there's a lot of safety procedures and protocols and things that you need to learn. And, you know, I was getting around in a vest that had capsicum spray, taser, gun, and all the training versions, of course, trying to work out which is the best situation and what I need to use in which situation. But there were lots of positions they put me in where they went, okay, we're going to set this up so you know exactly what's going to happen. And when I say draw, you're going to pull it out and you're going to do this. And I was like, no trouble.
Ready?
Yeah.
Draw. Don't look down.
Don't look down. Don't look down. Okay, I'll go again.
Ready? Draw.
God, that is in the way.
I'm just hearing excuses. Draw.
I can't. Oh. Okay, I'm pushing the wrong bit.
Draw.
can't get it off. Hang on, let me just try that. All right, now I know what I'm doing.
Ready? Yep. Draw. Draw.
I can't get it out.
Right.
Okay. Police, don't move.
Good.
See the voice I got.
We need to arm it. So that thumb's going to arm it for us.
Clip that up.
Right, keep that grip. Finger off the trigger at the moment.
Police, don't move. Police, don't move. The red light on you is a taser.
Stop, drop. Line it up. Depress the trigger. Taser. Then lower the taser a little bit and then move.
Out.
Okay.
So, as you can hear, it would have been okay if the crim was patient with me and would wait for me to draw a weapon because it took me so long. I kept getting my hand stuck on my vest. I was pulling the wrong stud. I couldn't get it right. And there's all these safety procedures in place, obviously. To get the gun out of the holster, there's clips and different things to make it safe. And so there's a lot to do.
Yeah.
And I didn't do that well in that section, but they said, well, let's try and put you in a scenario. We'll take you out to the toilet blocks out there and we'll have another officer there that was playing this role of a difficult civilian. And I was given the opportunity to say, you use your best, like whatever your instinct, what you think we should be using in this instance.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I did. Police, don't move. Don't move.
I'm trying to talk to my girlfriend in there.
Just put the bottle down. Don't move.
But my girlfriend's in there.
Yeah, okay. Don't move.
Nothing.
I've got, there's a red, no, don't move. There's a red light on you. There's a red light. You'll be tasered.
Why?
There's a red light and you'll be tasered.
Why?
Do not move.
No.
Do not move. Stay where you are. No. Police, stay where you are.
I'm leaving.
Oh, yeah, good here, good here. Unfortunately,
is it that she's
excessive and you're probably going to get in trouble?
Oh.
Not probably.
Because I need to, like.
There's going to be a real and imminent risk of injury to someone to use force.
Oh.
Could you not try talking first, Kimber?
I made the wrong call.
Yeah.
I made the wrong call. And this is the thing. It's really hard. I had this real appreciation for police in that moment too, because I realised you do have to make a call on something that obviously you're trained, but there's these moments of like the people are unpredictable.
Yes.
You don't know what's going to happen. And if someone throws himself towards you or, you know, it's a really difficult position, I think, to be in and
absolutely,
make that decision at the last minute. And try and get the taser out of your jacket if you can.
Okay. So the bottom line is a well-mannered perp, Kimber is on form.
I think my voice was scary enough.
Yes.
I feel like if I yelled at them for long enough, they'd give up. But we thought we better follow this up because initially I was invited to go along and try some police recruit stuff by Commissioner Dawson. And so we wanted to see if I did okay. So we've got Craig Donaldson, Assistant Police Commissioner, in here today. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning. How are you? Thank you for the invite.
Oh, thank you. You've been watching my training.
I have. Very impressive.
Been seeing how I've gone.
Mm-hmm.
What were your first thoughts?
Well, my first thoughts were I think you were leading towards being the ducks of the academy.
Look at you.
So well, I've got a bit of a report card for you.
Oh, okay.
So if I can just have a few minutes to run through your report card, because there are scores there.
Of course.
So firstly, you know, we want the highest quality applicants, and mm-hmm. you certainly fit that. You know, those people who are decisive, they're team players, and I think, you know, on observing your behaviour and the way you went about your business, you were very quick to decide that you weren't going into danger to face police dog doom. And a paper, scissors, rock off was the order for the day. So your decision making, your way that you articulated who's going to go forward, and police dog doom did his thing to Matt. You know, I don't know whether it's a hair thing, you know, you're picking on the bald fella, but that's okay. You know, whilst you were lounging around on that delightful beige lounge that we have out at Dog Squad. So, and you were in complete safety. So well done. Your score out of that was 10 out of 10.
Well done. Excellent.
So, you know, you're off to
my
a very good start.
My observing skills of throwing Matt under the bus. Great.
That's right. Secondly, we do rely heavily on analytical and problem-solving capability skills. So again, you displayed that in the police chopper. Very impressive. Not only did you direct police on the ground to the dodgy duo, and they did look very dodgy, you managed to highlight a concern when jeans and joggers became a dangerous fashion combination. So well done. Again, score 10 out of 10. So,
wow.
You know, the Ducks is getting very close there.
Okay.
Lastly, the ability to be operationally ready. Your display of fitness and agility was described to me. Now, this is, you know, God's honour.
I can only imagine.
Quote, clearly an athlete of standing we rarely see around these parts.
What a beautiful way of articulating that.
And you know, the natural ease in which you tooled up and you pepper sprayed, you tasered and you shot your way through training drills was outstanding. So 10 out of 10. So what we've got for you, Constable Kimber, is a certificate of outstanding performance.
Framed.
So that looks so
framed.
Cool.
That's for you.
Oh, I love this. It says Certificate of Outstanding Performance, and in brackets it says, well, sort of. Oh, I love this. Thank you so much. I love it.
Well, there's also a gift. So, you know, we've got, we're quite a well-funded organisation. Thanks very much to the government.
Mm-hmm.
Here is a Let's Join Forces, what would you call it?
Well, I guess it's a stress ball
it's
in the shape
ball.
Of a football.
Well done, very
or
expensive.
A rugby ball. Thank you.
If you could just sign here because it's your contract of employment. Start Monday.
Oh, honestly, I'm so grateful for the WA Police. They were unbelievable. I mean, you guys allowed me to try so many different things and everyone was incredibly professional and friendly and, you know, if you're someone who's looking for a different type of occupation or you're thinking, yeah, this is my shot, go and give it a go. Like, go and see, look into the recruitment process, because I know I've heard of many women who were going, I don't know if I can do it. I've got kids and is it tough? But you're looking for everybody, aren't you? It takes a certain type of person and we've got to kind of go through that process.
That's right. And I think we're very lucky. We've got an outstanding organisation. We've got the trust of the community. We work very hard on that. And as you've experienced, the help you get from our trainers, out of the academy. Our intent, it's an opt-in model when you get to the academy, because there's a number of steps to get through, because we do want exceptional people. But the academy is there to help you develop and make the right decisions, learn the legislation. And as you've witnessed, 28 weeks of training, it's hard work.
Yes.
It's rewarding, but you have a hell of a lot of fun. And it's a fantastic academy, so we're very lucky.
Yeah, I really recognise the challenges that you face, but also like the real camaraderie and that team support there.
Yeah, for sure. So well done.
Yeah.
We'll thank you. See you Monday.
Super. I'm available after 9.
Thank you, Assistant Police Commissioner Donaldson, for coming in. And well done, well, Constable Kimber.
Thanks, guys. And thanks for taking the dog bite, Matt.
Now, as a kid, there was a saying I used to remember. I think my mum said it all the time. Early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy and wise. You know that one?
Catchy.
Yes. I have a feeling that the person who came up with that saying wasn't doing breakfast radio, because, I mean, I go to bed early. I go to bed with Fat Cat. Often before my 10-year-old stepdaughter. I get up early, absolutely, to this horrible sound.
Is that the alarm?
That's my alarm.
What a nasty choice.
At 4:01, that goes off, and I get up and I do a little sort of dance to try and warm myself up. That's enough of that, Timmy. But I don't feel healthy. I don't feel healthy at all. I'm always broke by the end of the month, and the older I get, the more I realise I don't know.
Mm.
So that's not working for me. But there's a new player. I'm doing something that I said I would never do when I started doing this job.
Yep.
I've started flirting with the snooze button.
Oh, no.
Danger.
It's a terrible.
Why?
Once you start, I've been stuck in that rut for 2 weeks since we've come back from work, from holidays.
It's the most pointless 9 minutes ever invented by human beings.
Yeah.
Why would you do it to yourself? What do you get out of 9 minutes? Nothing.
Yeah, but I guess the thing is, what you're doing is going, I'd like to get up at this time, setting the alarm, and then going, now that that time is here, I don't want to do it.
Yes.
So you're buying yourself 9 minutes. The ones I don't get are the people who set the alarm early so they can press snooze
four or five times.
Because I'm like, why wouldn't you just buy yourself the extra 40 minutes sleep?
It's this weird half awake, half asleep zombie kind of area.
Mm.
And why is it 9 minutes?
You know what? I wish I remembered. I looked this up
once. Oh, did you?
Yeah, the guy who created it intentionally made it 9 minutes.
Jeff Snooze.
It was, it wasn't anything like, you know, groundbreaking or anything, but it was kind of like just considered that 10 minutes was sort of just not, like, you're not quite ready. You
okay.
know when you're looking at the clock
yes.
and you're like, oh, I've got to leave, I've got 10 minutes. You're never going anywhere with 9 minutes to spare.
Oh,
and so
see.
I think it was based on that.
It's like paying $99.95. It's not $100.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate the bloody snooze button.
What a week, what a week, what a week, what a busy old week. The week in Perth, yeah.
Now, I know a lot's happened this week, but for me, it all came into real focus when Pete Corelli took Kimber and I upstairs onto the rooftop and showed us bags full of Masters empty cartons, and said, we're going to build a boat. And he must have seen my face, because his little heart sunk. Because as we know, this is a passion project for Pete Corelli, Mix 94.5's Masters Regatta. He's bringing it back. We're bringing it back. It's going to be at Hillary's Boat Harbour on the 27th of November, a Saturday.
Well, we've got teams building boats. It's going to be a big family day. There's going to be a bunch going down at Hillary's on the day. So we encourage you to come down and be part of the old Perth feeling.
Absolutely. And I went home feeling quite angry at myself, because I never wanted to be a negative Nelly, and I clearly was. So I thought, that's it. I'm going to write him a sea shanty for his wonderful event.
And then he didn't show up.
And he bloody didn't turn up.
Rude.
But anyway, Pete, we hope you're listening. We hope you're feeling okay, brother. We love you and look forward to seeing you very soon.
All right, you lily-livered land lovers, get to work. Scrub the decks. Raise the mainsails. Let's go. Adventure awaits.
To rely, you rely. Bringing back Masters Regatta Day. Let me give you a tale of Perth history. Hope it puts some wind back in your sail. 'Twas the Masters Milk Carton Regatta that for some reason fell off the rails. Pete Corelli, he chatted with Masters, Over chalk milks, both parties agreed that the best thing to do with used cartons was to float them around Hillary's. So before you recycle that carton, yes, before you throw cartons away, gather all of your cartons together, bring in back Master's Regatterday. Pete said, I will make this me mission. No, I'll not rest from dawn until dark, till I've drunk enough Master's milk cartons to build a boat bigger than Noah's Ark. Drink your spearmints, your chuck milks and muckers, then get me that iced coffee. Drain your cartons and pack up the family and bring them all down to Ellery's. And before you recycle that carton, yes, before you throw cartons away, gather all of your cartons together, bringing back Master's Regatterday.
Off the starboard bow.
Is there a rule to how many times you can say cartons in a song?
No, well, I just broke it if there is.
His Wikipedia page describes him as one of Australia's most experienced and well-travelled comedians. Doesn't say anything about funny. Lucky he is, which is why we love him. Please welcome, friend of the show, Limo.
Limo!
Yo, little beauty! I am sitting here, Kimber, close your mind's eye, but I'm sitting here in my budgie smugglers waiting for that 32 degrees to arrive in Melbourne.
Oh, keep talking, keep talking.
How delightful. And you know what? You're actually sounding a little different today, Limo, because for some reason you're only coming through one speaker. You're
coming through in mono.
But, you know,
oh, am I?
Yes.
You know, I do my best work in mono, guys.
It's like you're about to release Love Me Do.
Just the Beatles special is out. Let's call this a promo for the Beatles special on the 24th of November. Hey, guys, much drama this week at our house.
Go on.
Earlier this week, my wife and I, the dog and our son, went for a walk, and we go down to the MCG and we do a lap of the G around the outside. My wife was on her roller skates, my son was on his push bike, and I was walking with the dog. Anyway, the son and my wife, we got very excited and they got up ahead of us. There are a couple of gates ahead of us around the MCG. And then my phone rings mysteriously. I'm like, well, that's weird. And I answer the phone. It's my wife. I said, well, what's going on? She said, how far away are you? And I said, well, we're only about 100 metres behind you. And she said, oh, can you hurry up? I said, why? And she said, I think I've done my knee.
Oh.
And I went, oh, no. Yes, roller skating as an adult, it's just inevitable, isn't it?
Dangerous.
Yeah, so she went, she hit a rock, and she twisted around, and she's ended up doing some sort of medial-type ligament in her knee, and she's hit the deck. Unfortunately, I didn't see it because her description was hilarious of her fall. So she's hit the deck, unable to walk. And our son, the 5-year-old, well, he was just superb in the circumstances. He's walked up and said, it's okay, mummy, at least you're not dead.
Aww.
And I thought, oh, well, that is a nice little bit of comfort from the young fella there. And then as we were walking back to the car, she was so embarrassed by the fall that she made me tuck the roller skates deep down inside the bag so people couldn't see them poking out the top, because she thought, well, they'll see the skates poking out and they'll know I've had a fall. And that's embarrassing. And we even walked the long way because she didn't want to walk past a cop car where two cops were sitting in it. She was too embarrassed because she skated past them earlier looking great. And now she was limping past. So she's not very well at the moment. That was an embarrassing little fall for my wife on the roller skates. Note for older people on roller skates.
Absolutely.
Just be careful. It's inevitable.
But you know,
it's going to happen.
She shouldn't be embarrassed. Matt's put his neck out this week by just adjusting his pillow.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
He didn't even get the, you know, going past looking great on skates in the beginning.
Didn't even, well, you know what, Kimber? I might have shared this with you guys before, but I'm at an age now where I just go to bed fully fit and wake up injured.
Yes, me that's too, my, bud. Me too.
That's standard procedure in my life these days. So I can't really knock my wife. Hey, guys, and before I let you go, I've got to talk about Bonza Airlines. Have you heard about the new Australian airline?
We have.
Bonza Airlines. I mean, is this one of the worst names for an airline you've ever heard?
Yeah, well,
so like, sure, I reckon we'll
heard the word Bonza in a while.
I know. I reckon we'll get you there, airlines. So I actually went on one of their test flights, and I can give you a little insight into some of the in-flight action on Bonza Airlines.
Welcome to Bonza Airlines. How's it going, legends? This is your skipper, Robbo. Me co-pilot is actually me best mate from school, Davo. Don't worry, though. He knows his way around the cockpit. And in charge out in the cabin is Margo. No, hang on. Maureen. Maureen, sorry. Met her at our local last night. Anyway, strap in and chill out while we get this tin bird into the sky. We'll be travelling at an altitude of, who knows, higher than the ground, hopefully. She'll be right. Me and Dave have flogged the guts out of this kite so we can get to your destination ASAP. The in-house entertainment and the food is crap. But you did pay about $4 for this flight, so what do you expect? And in case of emergency, a six-pack will fall from the compartment above you. And if anyone finds a thong in the cabin, can you bring it up front? Because Davo lost it flirting with the passenger in 17A.
Gee, Alan Joyce sounds different.
Get on board, people.
Love it.
Beautiful, mate.
Have Thanks, a great team. Weekend, Limo.
Have a good weekend.
If you have time, check out another Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast on the Listener app. And if you have an existing claim for a road or work accident, contact Maurice Blackburn, Australia's number one plaintiff law firm. 94.5.